Hey writers, Paul here, just to let you know that on Thursday, 5th of June, I'll be at the Calder Bookshop and Theatre to celebrate the publication of my dark comedy, Almost the Birthday Party. The Calder Bookshop is a beautiful, intimate theatre space tucked away behind the shelves of one of London's last remaining theatre bookshops, so it's the perfect setting. But there's still a handful of tickets available and I'd love for you to join me there. The two actors who brought the play to life on stage last year at the Old Red Lion Theatre will perform a reading from the published playtext, and tickets include a copy of the play and a glass of bubbly. You can find tickets directly on my website at paulcalberghi.com, and I'd love to see you there. That's Thursday the 5th of June, 7:30 at the Calder Bookshop and Theatre in Waterloo.
This is the Writer's Toolkit Podcast.
Welcome back to the Writer's Toolkit Podcast. While a new series is in the works with an exciting format change ahead, I wanted to bring you one of our Toolkit Tips mini-episodes, a quick burst of inspiration made up of golden advice from our wonderful guests from the last series. As you remember, the focus there was how playwrights can be proactive, finding creative agency, bypassing traditional gatekeepers, and forging their own path to the stage. I asked each of my guests to share one actionable step, something a playwright can do today to keep moving forward, stay creative, and channel any creative frustrations into positive momentum. Okay, let's start with some of the guests from our first episode in the series, The Camden Fringe. We explored how this much-loved London Festival champions new plays and grassroots talents. I spoke to festival co-directors Michelle Flower and Zina Barry, as well as theatre maker Pavanjay Singh.
Do something. Just do something. When you're a theatre artist, you've got choices in front of you sometimes, and you get bogged down with decision fatigue, and you don't know what you want to do. Do something. So if you're not in a play, but there's an opportunity to usher a theatre production that's coming up, go do that. If you are not acting, you're not writing, but there's a workshop that's happening, go do that. Don't do nothing. Don't, you know, especially with the existence of social media and TikTok and Instagram, it's very easy to lie on your bed and just scroll hours on end. Don't do that. Go do something. You know, even if you're tired of doing a little bit of theater, you've done the grind, you've gone for 15 auditions, you're not getting anything. You say, you know, I want to, what do I do? You know, there's an office job that's opened up. Go do that, but don't do nothing. If you want to stay healthy, go do something, and then always, whatever you do, open up your mind and your eyes and your ears to the people around you, to the world that's happening. Pay attention to the drama. Pay attention to the gossip. Pay attention to the news. Pay attention to the relationship between your two best friends who have now become a couple. Pay attention to humanity is what I'm saying. And you'll start to really see things that are worth writing about, that are worth sharing about, that might spark an interest in you in terms of like, oh, I'm really interested about this relationship, or I'm really interested about this topic. And that will feed into your art. That will feed into the kind of artist that you want to be. Because oftentimes the situation is that as an artist, if you don't have nothing to say, it's because you haven't really found what it is that you want to talk about, what you want to say. And how are you going to find that? It's not going to happen on Instagram or social media. It's going to happen when you start paying attention to the world around you. So go out and do something. And then always pay attention to the humanity that's around you.
I love that because it's so easy to spiral, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But doing something adjacent, I love that idea. Go and usher. I think that's a brilliant idea. Be in a theatre that will inspire you to create. That's brilliant.
You're a theatre artist. You're an artist. An artist creates art from what? From humanity. So go out and look for something that humanity is in, you know?
Yeah. That's right. I don't know who it was who said that an artist is a person who sees things and points at them.
Yeah.
And I love that. But you've got to get out in order to point at things.
Yeah. Go and do something. Yeah.
I would say actually go and have a look at Eventatron and set yourself up on there. You don't have to commit to doing anything at all. But if you go and have an explore, you can see what festivals are out there, what you can apply to and what they're going to ask of you. And just think whether that is possible for you.
And I'm a big fan of the... there's that book called The Writer's, you know, you'll know it, Paul.
The Writer's Toolkit. Was it that one?
Yes, definitely that one.
Oh, The Artist's Way.
The Artist's Way, Julia Cameron.
Yes, it is, Julia Cameron. And, well, there's loads of really good tips in there. But there's just really nice stuff like go and take yourself to an art gallery or go and take yourself to go and see a play or go for a walk or do a good thing where you can get a little bit of inspiration and morning pages, which is a lot like what Michelle was saying about writing every day, is a really good thing. And just remembering that you are allowed to be an artist and not everything that you do has to be brilliant. Just, you know, it's the doing it, isn't it, that's good for the soul. It doesn't matter if it's any good.
Definitely. I love what you were saying then at the beginning. I think Julia Cameron calls it the artist's date, booking a date with yourself and taking that time to go on an artist's date, whether it's to a gallery or a film screening or whatever, walking around a botanical garden, just having that creative alone time to
think.
I don't know, gestate ideas or think or whatever, decompress. Yeah, brilliant. Really good tips.
Oh, thank you.
I genuinely thought you were plugging my book then, Zena. Next up, play readings. This episode explored how staged and digital readings can be powerful tools for playwrights. My guests were Mimi Collins from Bespoke Plays London and playwright Rachel Lynette.
Go see each other's work. Go see new theatre. You go see other people's plays, they'll come see yours. It's like reading too. You've got to read. You've got to get out there. You've got to know what is there. And yeah, you've got to go see the thing that may or may not be good. Not the thing with the millions of reviews that you're going to have to put on a credit card because it's too expensive. Go see the weird thing in the 30-seater above the pub because that was made with love, if nothing else.
This is going to be so cheesy, but my answer is write a bad play. Like, do whatever you want to do. Like, I don't know, if you drink, pour yourself a glass of wine, pour yourself some whiskey. If you don't drink, make a very sexy tea. I'm a big fan of tea. And just take 30 minutes to write the shittiest play you can think of. And I promise, like, write a shitty, shitty play. And then have some friends over and read it out loud. It's going to make you feel amazing. I know it sounds nuts, but it works. It's so good because, first of all, what we think is shitty isn't.
Yeah.
And then second, you will find something in that play that you will want to turn into a real play because you put so much work into it. You're like, I might as well make this a thing. And now you have a new play.
Lean into
it. It's so much fun.
That's great. That's great. Thank you. From Zoom rooms to pub theatres, in the next episode, we celebrated those magical, intimate spaces that nurture bold new writing. Heather Jeffrey, editor of the London Pub Theatres website, and writer-performer Jonathan Blakely joined me to talk about what makes these venues a brilliant place to self-produce. Can you share one actionable step that playwrights can take today to, you know, drive creativity and be proactive and to channel any creative frustrations into something positive?
There are certain theatres that welcome people in at certain times, such as Golden Goose. Bread and Roses, for example, are very welcoming. Baron's Court. There are various scratch nights and certainly writers' nights. And it's worth just beginning by getting involved in the theatres themselves.
Network. Find those in your network, even if they're friends of yours or even if they're people that you don't know. Look at those spaces. Let's say it's fringe theatres, pub theatres. Support those theatres, support those artists, look out for one another. Because at the end of the day, all we can ever do is look out for one another. We're only strong if we're together as a collective. And when you're in that position, when you need that strength and that collective togetherness, those people will almost certainly be there for you as well because you were there for them. So never be afraid to reach out to those, even if it's for advice or a chat. Always look to reach out and make those important connections, even if it's over a coffee.
In our dramaturgy episode, I spoke with the incredible Alison Horsley about the vital role of a dramaturg in developing new work.
Learn a little bit about something that you don't know anything about. Like, I don't know, open up a dictionary and find find a word, type it in Google and see where that takes you for like 5 minutes. Just learn some random shit about something that would not have otherwise crossed your path. Or, you know, open up Google Maps, look at a street in your town, in a part of the town that you've never been to, go to the street view, look at the house, think about who lives there. Just do something to open up your world in a way that you ordinarily would never do. There's no harm in it.
That would really shake you out of a funk, right? Just focus on something else for a minute.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, or like, oh, I've heard of Lesotho. What does it look like? You know, like just random, you know, anything. Open up the news, see a place that you've never heard of or thought about, and yeah, do a little research on it. So just anything, like 5 minutes a day, not even 5 minutes, but something like that every day, and it'll shake you out of wherever you are.
Brilliant. I'm going to get a dictionary once we hang up this call and find a new word.
But yes, yeah, totally.
The conversation continues after these messages. The Writer's Toolkit is published by Nick Hearn Books. Order direct from the publisher and get 20% off this and other great titles. Visit nickhearnbooks.co.uk.
Hey writers, Paul here, just to let you know that on Thursday, 5th of June, I'll be at the Calder Bookshop and Theatre to celebrate the publication of my dark comedy, Almost the Birthday Party. The Calder Bookshop is a beautiful, intimate theatre space tucked away behind the shelves of one of London's last remaining theatre bookshops, so it's the perfect setting. But there's still a handful of tickets available, and I'd love for you to join me there. The two actors who brought the play to life on stage last year at the Old Red Lion Theatre will perform a reading from the published playtext, and tickets include a copy of the play and a glass of bubbly. You can find tickets directly on my website at paulkalbergi.com, and I'd love to see you there. That's Thursday the 5th of June, 7:30 at the Calder Bookshop and Theatre in Waterloo.
Welcome back to the Writer's Toolkit podcast.
Next, it was the story of a playwright meets venue in Bunnyman at Baron's Court. I spoke to artistic director Sharon Willems and writer-performer Christopher Lieberman.
I think if you are a writer and you have a script and you just feel like it needs to be put on somewhere, then I think the first thing you can do is find someone to do it with you so that you're not on your own. Find a friend and then trust that it's going to find the right home. It might not be Baron's Court. It might not be the Royal Court, but where it's supposed to be is where it's going to be. So if you've got a story, it's going to be heard. Just keep trying, keep going. I know it's hard because emails don't get responded to, or you get no's from places you want to get yeses from, but your story matters. So just keep plugging away.
Oh, an actionable step. I think the best thing you can do is, this is going to sound a bit annoying, is network. And I don't mean following people on Twitter. I mean, go to scratch nights, try and get into them with your own writing. But even if you can't, go to them, do what I do, hang around at drag show intervals and make friends there, because you will find that once you are surrounded by a creative community in real life, not just online, opportunities are a lot easier to find. And keeping your finger on the pulse and knowing which theatre company is doing what, when, and which theatres are good to go to, and all of this stuff. You've got to meet people.
What happens when 13 playwrights team up to produce their own work? 13P Collective Action told the story of a radical American playwrights collective. Some sage advice here from founding member Madeline George.
I think that if you have in your mind the thought that you could take action on your own behalf to change your writing career, and you know that there's one other person that could work with you on it, you can reach out to that person right now and be like, can we have a coffee and can we talk about this? That is, in fact, the way 13P started, is two people had a coffee and thought about it. And then we're like, why don't we reach out to these three other people? And then why don't we put a call out to these many other people? And I think remembering that it can, that a small incremental step can be the thing out of which a large change, you know, blossoms is helpful.
Next, I invited you all to New Zealand, where I was living at the time, and spoke to Murray Lynch, the head of Play Market New Zealand, and playwrights Keegan Carr-Franch and Nathan Joe.
Well, I think it's important to share your work with people you trust so that you're getting feedback that you can trust, and take advantage of any opportunities to submit your work to be read by others as well.
I know what I do. I grab a trusted friend who I know is also a writer, and I say, I'm writing this thing. I hate what I'm doing. Please, can you tell me that I'm not crazy? Can you read this? And they always come back with suggestions and also compliments, because you need those sometimes. So even just that sharing it with one trusted friend first reminds me that there is a space for the work. There's a space for me as a playwright, and jumps me from being in the static inertia of why am I doing this to, oh, I remember why, so that people can come and watch it and that I can engage with people.
It's always a scary one, the notion of self-producing, but I think self-producing as an independent maker, independent playwright, early in your practice, no one else is going to produce for you. At the very least, you need to find someone who maybe isn't a producer to co-produce with and learn the producing skills, because you do have to know how the sausage gets made in a theatre process for it to get made. No one is just going to pick up your play, and that's not strictly true, but I think that's a problematic life lie to work under, because if you are under the assumption that you might get picked up, you'll work as if you are going to get picked up.
Yeah.
And it'll take a very long time, or you'll be the exception to the rule. So I think like learning to self-produce, and you know, that might mean going, how can I put on a low budget play for a 1 week season with some friends? And I know that's very difficult, but you know, you work backwards and you go, maybe I don't have enough actor friends. I'll do a call out. You know, there are always people hungry to create and make, and that might not be under the best and most funded circumstances, but that's, we all start somewhere.
Back in London, Maggots at the Lion and Unicorn offered a brilliant case study of fringe success, where I spoke to artistic director of the Lion and Unicorn Theatre, David Brady, and playwright Farah Najib. Is there one actionable step you can share that playwrights can take today to channel any creative frustrations into something beautiful?
I think there is an inherent frustration in never being, in feeling like you're not being seen, or you're not being, you know, you're not getting success, whatever that success means for you. I think for me, my measure of success was getting my work made in the first place, and now being in a position to kind of program other people's work. I think if you can start to have creative conversations about your work, even if somebody says they didn't like it, that's a measure of success. If somebody read it or sees it or pays money to go and see it, if you can get that far, I think. So actually learning more about the production process kind of takes us full circle to what we talked about, learning more about the production process, so that if you're not getting it from somebody else, make it for yourself. You can then be responsible for opening those doors. And that feeling of not being successful, you can kind of take into your own hands. And, you know, again, whether it's a 10-minute scratch night or a 3-week run at a fringe theatre, you can have the control over how you get that produced and made. And I think it's about realising that the job of a writer is not to create in isolation. You are creating, particularly for theatre, for a collaborative process. So find those collaborators and really write for them, because then they will return that success for you, if that makes sense.
Have a community of other writers that you can talk to when you feel like you're going mad. People to share little bits of writing with, people whose scripts you want to read and just talk about, and just, yeah, staying in contact with people, I think, is vital. And it's not easy to maintain sometimes, I think. Like, I'm definitely guilty of falling out of those communities and feeling like, no, I just need to maintain this tunnel vision, I just need to write, and I just need to get this thing done. But then you connect with someone and it feels immediately so much better just to share the load of whatever you're struggling with writing wise.
We headed back down under to explore Seven On, an Australian playwrights group founded on mutual support and positivity. And I spoke to Ned Manning about how collectives like Seven On can nurture productivity and boost morale in our often solitary writing lives.
We obviously write plays for them to be done. And I think when you write a play, in the back of your mind should be, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to send it off to all the major theatre companies. And when the company rejects it, then I'm going to go and keep going and keep going and come. And in the end, I'm going to get a bunch of people together, hire a hall or hire a thing and do it. And I think that's what we must do, you know, is kind of go, I need to see this thing. And we need to like reclaim control of it, basically, so that it's not just some impresario going, yeah, okay, I'll do your play or I won't do your play. And the history of playwriting was about that. There wasn't
there are no gatekeepers.
No. You know, and if you're going way back, you do it on the back of the cart in the village square. People love that.
Yeah, that old mantra, we've got a barn, let's put on a show.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think that would be the one thing that I would say, I would stress that, is don't give up and get the damn thing on.
Yeah.
Somehow.
In Finding Community, I was joined by Kimberly Andrews from London Playwrights. We talked about how to connect with others, building a writing network that can tap into the power of shared knowledge and support.
If you do one thing, so just think about, as a writer, what it is that you want to write. What are you passionate about? What do you want to achieve with your writing? Do you want to entertain people? Do you want to change the world? Have you got a message? And to really hone in on that connection and consider what it is that you're passionate about. Because I think if you can remind yourself of that, you can push through all the other things that are really difficult and all the other challenges that you might face when trying to finish a play and trying to get the play on stage.
Tuning into your voice as a writer, isn't it? It's really important to remind yourself why you're writing sometimes.
It really is. And I say that to people a lot. You know, I run a redrafting course, and I say to people at the beginning of that course, okay, you know, redrafting, it can be challenging. You're not necessarily going to be finished in one go. It can be a long process. So let's start the first session by reminding yourselves of why you're writing this play in the first place. Why are you passionate about it? Why are you willing to commit hours and hours, potentially even years of your time into finishing this project? So I think just reminding yourself of that is really, really worthwhile.
Thanks for joining me for this Toolkit Tips episode, a quick shot of inspiration from a season filled with practical ideas for empowered playwriting. If you missed any of the episodes, now's the perfect time to catch up. And don't forget, a brand new series of The Writer's Toolkit is just around the corner, so make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss a thing. Until then, keep writing and stay inspired.
This podcast is fueled by coffee. If you'd like to support the show, you'll find the Buy Me A Coffee link in the show notes.